The Nationals have ruled out another visa class from the Coalition's commitment to cut overall migration numbers if it wins government. After ruling out cuts to visas for families, tradies, chefs and nurses, questions have been raised about how the Coalition could achieve its ambitious migration target without including the rising number of working holiday visas. But speaking on ABC Insiders, National Party frontbencher Bridget McKenzie says backpackers will also be exempt.
We absolutely need those backpackers out in our regions, tourism, hospitality, and indeed the agricultural tasks.
Would you cut that number?
No, we're not cutting that number.
So no cuts to working holiday
international students, absolutely.
David Johinki is president of the National Farmers Federation and joins me now. David, welcome back to Breakfast.
Good morning, Sally.
Are you confident and satisfied now that this is indeed Coalition policy and that working holiday visas are exempt after these comments from Bridget McKenzie?
Well, workforce is an extremely important issue for farmers across Australia, and we've been extremely active in this space election period. So prior to even Bridget going onto the program, we had contacted Dan Tehan's office, who is the Shadow Immigration Minister, and had been confirmed from him that there was no plans to touch the Working Holiday Maker program, which accounts for roughly 14% of all Australian farm workforce, and in horticulture in peak periods is up to 44%. So for us, this is an extremely important issue. We do need working holiday makers. We do need a better system for Australian agriculture, for workforce to come in both from overseas but also to make agriculture attractive domestically as well.
Some immigration experts say the numbers don't add up and the Coalition can't achieve its target without cutting backpacker numbers. How confident are you that this area, this particular visa, will remain exempt if the Coalition wins government?
Well, once again, we've got it from both in writing from the immigration minister, shadow immigration minister, I should say, and also on public record now. So for us, we believe that's solid ground that they will keep their word, and also noting that the Coalition has also promised to reintroduce a visa that agriculture could utilise as well, that we haven't had in place for a long time. And in fact, it's something that we don't really have anything fit for purpose. So for us, we are taking them at face value, and it is a very welcome announcement.
David, on a separate issue, when it comes to the US and trade, have you had any further updates from the United States at all? Are there any changes?
Unfortunately, when it comes to trade in the US, it is a daily proposition, and we have had excellent working relationship with both the Trade Minister and also the Department during this whole period. The frustrating part is that what is known today can change tomorrow. And in Australian agriculture, we obviously are exposed to not only the impacts of the direct tariffs that the US has put onto Australian goods, but also the indirect tariffs, the displaced goods that other countries will no longer be able to put into the US. We'll be looking for new markets, and they're markets that we also cherish as well, and that could affect the dynamics of Australian trade. So it is something that is on a daily basis being updated. We have some knowns now, but unfortunately the trading relationship that we've had with the US and the long-term situation that we have been in for the last 20 years with a trade agreement and being also a very strong ally didn't exempt us from these tariffs. However, being set on the lowest tariff was originally welcomed, as far as if that was the sort of evil out of what was happening. But for us, we believe we shouldn't have any tariffs on our goods because we are very strong trading partners with the US. The amount of Australian agricultural product that goes into the US is extremely important for both countries. They currently have a beef shortage, and Australia has the high-quality beef that they look for, and that is the trade that we want to continue on with.
Last week, Labor proposed a critical minerals reserve, something the Coalition has questioned but says it will look at more closely after the election. How much faith does the ag sector have in this being a potential negotiating tool over tariffs with the US?
Well, the challenge has been in other mootings of what a negotiation tactic could be was the biosecurity position. And we've been extremely strong in saying that we will never lessen our biosecurity to gain trade or gain access, because it is our number one protection of all of our agriculture, and it's something that we as a nation need to fully support and understand that that would absolutely cost us in the long run if we were to lose any of that strength. When it comes to the mineral industry, it's something that we hope is used strategically, if it is to be used at all, noting that usually when you talk about mining, you're also talking about agriculture, and that a lot of these mines occur within our landscape that has a footprint of farming, and we want to make sure that we're not disadvantaged or traded off as well in a short gain.
On Insiders yesterday, Nationals Senator Bridget McKenzie said that property owners need stronger rights when it comes to renewable energy infrastructure on their land. What's your view?
The challenge has always been getting equity into this conversation. Usually agriculture is placed at the bottom tick box of all the criteria that these initiatives are put into place. We see both the First Nations rights, the environmental rights being put well ahead of agriculture. We want agriculture to have the same status in these conversations. And we also want to make sure that when there is a strategy for energy in Australia, that it is reliable and affordable for all Australians, but it can't be at the only benefit of the consumer. If it's to be placed on agricultural land, there has to be an overwhelming case that is benefiting those local communities, not just the landholders. And for us, there's a long way to go down this pathway of have we got the settings right? We don't believe they are fully in favour of landholders yet. There's a lot more work to be done here, and well, our fear is that if we rush too quickly down some of these avenues, we're both going to miss the opportunity of benefiting these local communities, but also, and more importantly, disadvantaging farmers and potentially taking some really valuable farmland out of production if we don't get the settings right.
David Jahinki, thanks so much for your time this morning on Breakfast.
Anytime, Sally. Thank you.
You're listening to ABC Radio National.